RPG Lessons Learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. We are at RPGLL Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, rpglpodcast@gmail.com, and check us out online at rpglessonslearned.com. Hi, welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. Today, I've got Brian with me.
Hey, Dusty, how's it going?
It's weird that I say I've got you with me when I'm in your house in your studio recording on your equipment.
Eh.
I feel like I'm the showrunner for some reason, even though you do most of the work, most of the editing.
Not for this episode.
Well, that's the only reason I said most. You used to do 100% of the editing. And now that I'm editing the APs and you just do the front and back bumper, I say just, I didn't mean that pejoratively. I feel like I'm taking on at least some of the editing. But I've said it before, I just want to say it again, Brian. Thank you for all the tremendous amount of work you do to bring RPGLL out there.
Well, Dusty, thank you for being a friend.
Likewise. All right, mushy stuff over. Got another episode of the Vampire the Masquerade campaign that I ran for Chris and Nathan that I want you to have a listen to. But first, should we talk about last week?
Yeah, remind us what happened last week.
And we're saying last week. We went 2 weeks without
talking about that. Yeah, what happened 2 weeks ago?
What happened last episode? Last episode, we did the whole intro to their characters are vampires. So a bit of a prologue, bit of a lead-in. Let them inhabit their characters a bit. Let them play with their characters a little bit. And let them have that scene that we all know from every vampire movie so well, where the character kind of comes to grips with being a vampire and letting them experience that. And we left with them on a mission now to go find this mysterious Jack person. Because now that they've discovered that they're vampires, they need to discover the broader vampire society. And that's where we left last week, and that's what we're going into this week. All right, let's have a listen.
And did you get a post-it note about some dude named Jack in a sanctuary?
Yep.
What is that?
Don't know. I was hoping you did.
All right. Do you guys want to eat first or find Jack first?
I am
good.
I need to eat.
You need to eat? Okay. Let's go ahead and establish your blood level.
Okay.
So you have, I'm just going to give you, I'm going to say you're hungry.
Okay.
So you have less than 5 blood. I don't know if you're 1, 2, or 3.
Oh, okay. So it goes from left, or it goes from left is...
Yeah, you mark off left to right.
Yeah,
so you mark off on the right, like, and you move your way left
as
you
mark off.
Yep, I got
you.
You
got it. No. So you certainly mark off the first 5.
Yep.
And I want each of you to roll 1d6. If it's a 1 or a 2, only mark off the first one in hungry. If it's a 1, 2, or 3, mark off the first one. If it's a 4, 5, or 6, mark off the first 2 under hungry.
3.
All right, so just mark off the first one in hungry.
That's a 5.
So again, it goes from...
So there. All of these are marked off.
Oh, okay.
And you're marking off that one, too.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a 5. Where does that put me?
You're going to mark off the first 7, dude.
And that already 8? Oh.
So you're both hungry. Hungry, by the way, means that you have to make a frenzy check at temptation. Temptation in this case basically means naked blood.
Like what I went through earlier.
Yes. Yeah. All right. We're actually going to hunt properly according to the rules. So if you check out the rules for hunting, first you've got to locate a victim. Locating a victim is a mental roll. Difficulty varies by the location, and there are examples. So tell me where you're going to hunt, and you can see the difficulties there, and it's intuitive. Nightlife, there are people out there looking to make bad decisions, looking
right,
to go
exactly.
home with somebody. So nightlife, you know, that's pretty easy. Downtown area, you're going to find your homeless people, whatever. Downtown is one step up in difficulty because you're out on the street, and these may not be people looking to engage with people, but it's still not that hard. It gets a little harder in your uptown areas, your more upscale areas, suburbs. Things like that.
Where would I guess we're downtown, right? Looking for a homeless person.
Yeah, pretty much.
I still have the phone number of that girl I bit. Should I? call her? No. She's freaked out right now.
How hungry are you?
I'm pretty hungry.
I'll wait.
But...
All right, I need a decision. What do you want to do?
So nobody's come knocking at your door about you eating the homeless dude, right?
No.
Okay, let's do a homeless dude.
All right, Edward, go ahead and make your mental roll to locate a victim for yourself.
That's me. Sorry.
That's you, yes.
So three dice for it because it's downtown. Okay.
Well, no. Sorry. The number of dice is your mental. Oh. How many mental do you have?
Oh, dirt. Four.
Okay, so it's four dice.
That's a DC.
The difficulty is three. Gotcha. So anything above a three is a success.
Yeah, gotcha. Oh, okay, yeah.
Makes sense.
All of them. Yeah, so, I did pretty good.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, you easily. In fact, you know what? With three successes, you find a pair of victims for you two to share. All right, so now you can feed. So you found a victim. I'm just going to give you feeding. So feeding, you can drain one blood level per turn. Humans have 10 blood levels. At 5, they've got to be hospitalized. If you take them all, they're killed. So how many blood levels are you going to take? Look at your blood on your character sheet and decide how much you're going to take.
I need 4. You need 3, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because you had 7, so I need 4. You need 3.
Oh.
But I don't know that I necessarily need to get, like, all the way over, right? But
you want to get out of hungry, certainly, but everything else is up to you.
Let's,
I'll take 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take 4 as well.
Okay, so you each take 4. Go ahead and erase 4 of those markings. Mm-hmm. All right. So you each got 4 blood. What about this Jack fella? Go ahead and make me, by the way, a mental roll on Sanctuary.
Sure. It's always a DC 4 by default.
Yeah.
Nope.
Got it.
Okay. How many successes?
2 successes.
Oh, Sanctuary is a club. It's a club downtown.
Okay. Awesome. Now I feel a lot better. I feel, like, just energized. Mm-hmm. Bro, why wasn't I doing this before? Like,
You weren't a vampire.
Yeah, like, but no, what I mean is when I was a vampire but
didn't
realize.
What's your mental trait?
2.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
You're role-playing it.
I'm, yeah, thank you.
You were awfully preachy, as I recall. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to go the real route or the less illegal route. Less felonies route, I guess, but I guess it doesn't matter if we're vampires.
We're not human. Who do we care?
Holy crap, we're vampires.
Do whatever we want.
Can I fly?
Try.
Oh, I'm not going to try that.
You should try. You're immortal, probably. Let's find out.
This is going to be a Hancock situation. It's not going to end well.
And be a bad movie?
It was a fantastic movie.
I push him off the side of the building.
Do I float?
Does this happen?
He pushes me off the side of, like, I'm guessing it's a two-story building, like a parking garage or something like that.
3, same as him.
Okay, you're going to lose 3 health. So go ahead and mark off 3 health for me.
You're a dick.
I'm the older stepbrother. It's my job.
By the way, you see those 2 in fortitude that are grayed out?
Yeah.
You don't have those. So mark off the 2 light and 1 medium.
Okay.
So you're now going to lose 1 die on everything you do. You learn something very valuable from this experiment.
What's that?
Which is that you can take damage. You're not immortal. You're not impervious to wounds, even mundane wounds.
We're not immortal. I think you figured that out.
Do I know that I can spend a blood to restore health?
When Pretty you innate? Get hurt, I bet it's instinctive to do that.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to do that.
Okay.
1 blood, so that way it's not...
That way you get back to life?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, fair enough. How about this sanctuary place, guys?
Yeah, let's go to the sanctuary, man. Wait. Yeah, I'm dressed for it. Let's do this.
All right. You get to the sanctuary. We're talking, remember, 1997. Lots and lots of black denim. I mean, black denim jackets, black denim. Black denim everywhere.
And a lot of Rachel hair, I would imagine.
Some Rachel hair, for sure.
Yeah.
I think of that more early 90s. It's kind of a metal bar/biker bar wannabe type thing. So when I say black denim everywhere, I mean like black denim sleeveless jackets, you know, black t-shirts underneath.
I am not dressed for
a lot of guys with like long hair, maybe black rags tied in the hair, a lot of sunglasses at night.
Yeah, I'm wearing a turtleneck.
I was going to say, yeah, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a black turtleneck.
That's pretty close.
We're talking like concrete floors, exposed ductwork, neon, you know, beer signs everywhere, pool table, classic bar.
So just a level set. I used to have a corporate job before this whole thing happened, and I'm now deciding to go third shift at some random industrial complex. So this is a lot different than what I'm used to. So let's have fun. Let's do this.
So I've been focused on Zep for a while. So Edward.
Eduardo.
Oh,
the U model of the E sounds like an O at the end.
It is
C.
Changing. Yeah, Eduardo.
C. Yeah, C.
You're in the same bar with your stepbrother. How, you know, what do you do? How do you try to find Jack?
Well, I look around and see if I see him, first of all.
You don't see anyone that's wearing name tags that say Jack.
Okay, so that's out. That's a good plan. It's gone.
Yeah. You know where we can find Jack? I just walk up to a random bouncer or something like that and just ask.
To a bouncer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, do you know where we can find Jack?
What do you want with Jack?
I think we were told to find Jack.
Brother, I think you are looking for Jack and shit. And Jack left town. Why don't you get the hell out of here?
Do you mind if I got an open tab. Do you mind if I just at least like stay
in? You just walked in here. I didn't see you open a tab. I've been watching you the whole time. I'm a bouncer. It's my job. You know what? Let me see some ID. All
right. I show him my ID, which is obviously I'm 23.
Look, go to the bar, order a drink. Don't make any trouble. I'll let you stay and enjoy the music.
That's fair.
So I'm watching all this from the bar.
You are.
I've ordered a Bloody Mary because, of course, I did.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. No celery because we're wimps. I asked the bartender. I'm assuming it's the lady. It's a nice club.
Sure.
Sure. Hey.
Makes sense.
Nor I can find Jack. I saw like a... How much was the Bloody Mary? It was 97, mind you.
Oh, man, I have no idea how much an alcoholic beverage was in 97. I was 17.
I'll say that was like $6.
So, yeah, so totally dead. Come on now.
$6, even for Charlotte. No, how about $5?
Cool.
Even that seems steep.
I saw the second five across.
A second five? Ooh.
That's 100% tip. Come on, that's pretty good.
Well, I guess that... Okay, fair enough. She looks at the five, and she kind of looks at you, and she's like...
I saw another five.
Do you mean me, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean you don't know Jack, but you're looking for him?
I'm trying to know Jack, so I don't know Jack. So can you show me the Jack?
Well, he's hard to miss. He's right over there. And she points you to a guy at a pool table that looks like the baddest guy in this place. And I don't mean he's the biggest, because he's not. Mm-hmm. But he just looks supremely confident.
Like 90s bad.
The way he moves. I mean, everything about him is like Billy Ray Cyrus at the height of Billy Ray Cyrus when Billy Ray Cyrus was cool.
That never happened.
Okay. How about...
Don't break my heart. My achy breaky heart is not what you want to put in my head.
He's like Lorenzo Lamas in Renegade.
Yeah, got it. Understood. Yep.
He's like Duncan MacLeod in Highlander.
Yep.
We're talking long hair. Mm-hmm. The dude just carries himself like he knows how to handle himself, 90s style.
Like he looks like he's a bounty hunter on the weekends.
That's what he looks like.
Yeah, I gotcha.
His hair is a little more unkept than everyone else's, but it still looks masculine and cool.
Yeah.
He's got the really big, like, Terminator sunglasses.
He doesn't have any male pattern baldness yet. He just looks like a... Yeah. Really
he's cool. Got some leather and denim on him, but you can tell, unlike with other people, it's not a costume. He wears it because he rides a bike, and right. It's legit. And these are weathered and worn in, and they're his clothes. Yeah. It's not a like going clubbing costume like other people around here. And that's Jack.
Does he have any patches or anything like that?
Like on his jacket?
Yeah.
Probably a couple. I would say he wouldn't have the classic 1%er biker patch or anything like that.
Okay. It's 97.
The 1%er patch goes back to like the 50s, dude.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah.
That Tea Party thing, eh?
No, it's not.
No,
oh, no. Yeah. Not a 1%er like Occupy Wall Street. 1%er like the Hell's Angels after World War II, when they were the 1% of society that was violent and would kick your ass, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Boy, but that feels silly now.
it's a very different 1%er than we have today.
Yes, the inverse.
No. Yeah, fun history lesson. Look it up.
God, you're old. can I tell this is the same guy from the other night? Do I recognize him?
Is definitely not the same guy from the other night.
Again,
your memories of that night are blurry, but this is not the guy.
I motion Zip over and kind of gesture towards him.
Call me Zip. I appreciate it. I actually like the fact that you call me Zip.
Wait, what?
That's awesome. That's your name? No, it's Zep.
Oh, close enough.
Yeah. But the fact that you call me Zip just makes it like that much better because I'm the moron of the group. So to me, it's like, oh, he has a nickname for me. We are Step Bros.
Okay. We're
totally in character.
All right, totally in character.
Yeah, what I'm going with.
Thanks, man. Yeah. So you motion me over there.
That's okay. Jack.
Who takes the lead with the Jack conversation?
I do, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, heard you, Jack?
Yeah.
Jack, got a note from you, or got a note this morning said we should come find you.
Well, what are a couple of fledglings like you looking for me for? You want an errand from the prince?
Hey, man. Who are you calling fledgling?
I know it's the Queen City, but come on now.
Are you neonates then?
I don't do Tamagotchi.
He leans close to you and he does a straight up. You smell like a fledgling.
I don't know how to take that, sir, but I'm offended.
Is that a vampire thing? Is that
Whoa. This is not.
Is that what we're doing here?
We're in public here. The masquerade is in effect.
Okay. So let's not public, and you explain this to us.
All right. Fine. I'll step into a back room. Julius, take over for me. And he tosses his pool cue to another. Of everyone in here dressed like a biker, he tosses the pool cue to another actual biker. And he takes you back to a back room. All right, errand boys. What's your errand?
Ocean Note said, Jack. Sanctuary.
Fine, Jack.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I showed him post-it note.
Okay. You found me. Do you two know what you are?
Vampires, I hope.
Is there a different word you might use in polite society?
Bad dudes.
I killed a guy.
Who made you? Who's your sire?
We don't. Remember.
How long have you been vampires?
It's a couple weeks. Yeah.
Ha!
I think it was
God
a night.
God damn,
night.
You have no idea the world of shit that you're in. Hang on a minute. He steps out and he yells for, bring a bottle. And sure enough, someone brings a bottle. And when she walks in, he's like, this is Sheila. You can talk freely around her. She's one of us. Thank you, Sheila. She leaves. That was the bartender, by the way.
Ah.
Jeez, guys. You are in some serious trouble. You are vampires, but we don't call ourselves that. You're kindred.
Okay.
We're all kindred. And he grabs you two by the shoulder.
I give him a hug.
Are you saying that we're kindred spirits?
That's what we call ourselves. We're the kindred.
Okay.
Vampire is a mortal word to describe something almost as old as mortality. But you, as of this moment, have been sentenced to death.
Okay.
We have rules in kindred society, traditions even. And the third one is the tradition of progeny. No vampire, no kindred, shall create progeny without the permission of the city's prince. If you've been created and you have no sire, you had no permission. There's no one to look after you. When the prince finds out, a blood hunt will be called on you, and every kindred in the city will be out to kill you.
Huh. Time to move.
So this prince guy, like, is there no way that we can talk to him and explain the situation, that it wasn't our fault?
Well, you can try. But princes don't become princes by breaking the rules. These rules are older than he is by millennia.
Is there anybody above the prince? Like maybe like a king or a queen?
It's like queen, king, ace.
Nobody above the prince.
Yeah.
and the whole Camarilla is going to approve of letting fledglings with no sire live.
Is there any way that we can get adopted as...
I've been thinking about a solution. Do you even know what the Camarilla is? Of course you don't.
No.
The Camarilla is polite vampire society. The Camarilla are the seven clans that bounded together. I'm not Camarilla. I'm an anarch. I am descended from those that first rebelled many thousands of years ago. I don't follow the Camarilla's rules. I hate to see vampires put to death, especially two fine upstanding gentlemen like yourself. Make a mental roll, both of you.
I fail.
Three
successes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell, you figured out that he is piecing together not just how to help you, but how to use the situation to his advantage. You see the look in someone's eyes when he's looking at a chessboard and all of a sudden a move he didn't see is revealed to him.
Mm-hmm.
So you know to watch out for some possible ulterior motives here. You also know that everything he's told you up till now is the truth. So it kind of puts you in a tough spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave here and don't take his advice and don't listen to him, you're probably going to die
mm-hmm.
as soon as another vampire figures out what you are.
I like this guy.
He's right in front of us.
He's right in front of you. You haven't said that yet. Are you going to step away from Jack and ask for a moment to talk?
No, I'm literally looking like just slack-jawed, wide-eyed at this guy. Like,
this is what Zepp looks like when he gets a man crush.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I know what's going on. I know we don't have a choice. Like, what you got?
Yeah. Well, so fledglings with no sire, that's a problem. If we can convince the prince that you're neonates, that you're new vampires but allowed to move freely without your sire, and you introduce yourself, you know, you call upon the tradition of hospitality and announce your presence in his domain, then you'll be able to live in Charlotte without calling attention to yourselves as anything unusual. What clan are you?
Is there, like, a tattoo that we would have gotten?
It was like a quake thing.
Like, I don't know how to know that.
So you don't even know what clan you are. That makes sense.
I can't remember the guy's name.
He's looking at you, and he comes over to you, and he grabs both sides of your face, and he's looking in your eyes really hard. And he's like, I can't tell. Tell me, have you fed?
I mean, yeah.
Have you healed?
He has.
Yeah.
So you've taken and used blood.
Yeah, it was just instinctual. It just happened. I was pushed or fell off of
a
two-story building, and it hurt.
Fell down some stairs.
I mean, I didn't die, thankfully, but yeah, it just happened. It was like, I don't know, it's like the reaction of whenever you have to sneeze and you just sneeze. You don't even think about it, you just do it.
Have you showed a predilection for any other abilities? You hear voices, you see things, talk to animals.
We can do that?
Evidently not.
Yeah.
So, that makes you damned unusual. God damn, what a day. I think you two are Caitliff. Clanless. Vampires created with no clan weaknesses. Just the weaknesses we all share to sun and silver.
So does that mean that I'm just a generic vampire or kindred?
Generic's a good word for it. I like that. Yes.
Do we just leave that in our character sheet blank? Or?
But I don't think you're thin-blooded. Thin-bloods can't use powers. I don't think you two are thin-bloods. Just generic vampires, to borrow your word. How do you two feel about your ability to handle yourself in a fight?
I feel like I can do pretty well in a fight.
Shit. How about you?
I'd say I'm about a 3 out of 4. Yeah, about 3 out of 4.
Well, I can think of a way for you to convince the prince that you're a neonate.
Okay, awesome. I'll be honest with you. I haven't thought too deeply about the mechanics of this, you know, system. It never really occurred to me that there would be eating and hunting mechanics. So that was like, I mean, it makes sense. They're vampires. But like, I never really thought I would hear my friends talking about looking for homeless people to eat.
The game very quickly, you get used to being a vampire or you don't play this game. And the game is meant to ask some of those moral questions, like, how do you feel about eating people? How do you feel about, you know, there's this metaphor in life of social Darwinism that most people find abhorrent. Well, what happens when that becomes real Darwinism and suddenly you're eating people, sentient beings to stay alive? The game asks those questions. My campaign doesn't linger on those questions. So for those listening who were horrified by it, yeah, they get pretty used to eating people very quickly, and we move on from that because that wasn't the question that I was asking with this campaign.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, I think I would have a challenge with this. As we know, most of my characters are either, like, you know, lecherous or they are totally paladins. And I don't, as somebody who loves playing a paladin, I don't know that I could do this.
There actually is a path forward. We didn't explore it in this campaign. There is a path forward for vampires who don't want to eat people. And there are rules, even in the little guidebook, even in that little 1997 Quick Start rule set for feeding from animals and how animals, there's flavor text about how it's generally less satisfying. Mechanically, animals differ from people because you recover fewer blood levels from them. So you'd have to eat more animals to equal one person. But Brian, if you wanted to play a noble paladin-like vampire, if you form a relationship with a butcher shop, that's probably entirely possible.
Ooh, maybe a sponsorship butcher shop.
We're moving into Twilight territory, right? Where the Twilight vampires only ate animals. But I think some people, and evidently Stephanie Meyer is among that crowd, need that separation, need that moralistic or ethical behavior in their vampires, i.e. not killing people, to be able to even see them as protagonists.
Yeah, I really do think it would be a challenge to play, and I don't even know how you would have like a moralistic vampire. It's just so contrary to my, you know, personal preconceived notions of what a vampire is.
Well, to your point, not so much in the quick start system, because there's not a tracker for it, but in the old vampire system, and certainly in the new fifth edition, but again, not super into that, there's this notion of humanity and losing your humanity and succumbing to the beast within. Even in the Vampire Bloodlines video game, there's this notion of losing humanity and gaining humanity back through good deeds. And a vampire hanging on to their humanity is a tough thing.
I could basically play as Angel.
You could. In a lot of ways, the vampire system is meant for that kind of play where you struggle with these choices. And, you know, I'll openly admit here at the end of our second episode in this campaign, again, I didn't explore that in my campaign at all. We'll talk more about it in the third episode, but I was exploring something different.
Cool. Okay. So, I mean, after we got past the eating mechanics, the guys were on the hunt for Jack, and they learned that he was in a club. And you basically, they found him in one corner of the club doing his own thing. And you described him in your DMing ways as looking sort of like Duncan MacLeod from Highlander. Of course, that resonated with me because, you know, as you know, that's a big thing for both of us. We both love Highlander. But I couldn't shake that. So when you were RPing as him, he had this like sort of gruff voice that I, you know, just created mental discord with me I just saw him as Duncan MacLeod, and who's kind of a suave character, but he also at the same time sounded more like a biker. He basically sort of talked to the guys and gave them some information about sort of the vampire culture. And he gave his assessment of, you know, who and what they are based on the fact that they don't know, they don't have the history they can point back to. And he really told them that there's a likelihood that they're going to be hunted down and exterminated because they don't have a sire. When you were playing this character, creating this character, how did you envision him? Because, again, in my mind, he was like immediately, I was anchored on Duncan MacLeod, and I couldn't get past that.
I ripped him off whole cloth from the video game. So in the video game, and after we record this, Brian, I'll get you to pull up some YouTube videos. In the video game, Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, Jack is that character. He's that NPC in the video game that sort of teaches you the rules, and he sort of runs the tutorial mission. Like, he's the one telling you how to use your powers in the video game, and he has this gravelly voice. I was describing him as, you know, Duncan MacLeod in Highlander or Lorenzo Lamas in Renegade, not to emphasize that he's, you know, handsome or suave, because the NPC is not portrayed that way in the video game, but just sort of to say he's a long-haired, tough guy. He's a long-haired guy that you wouldn't want to mess with. And I was really trying to encapsulate, you know, the 90s. What's the most 90s description I can give for a long-haired guy that you don't want to mess with? And Duncan MacLeod's what popped to mind. So if it made him sound suave, then my bad.
It's not a 90s character, but if we're describing Jack in the terms that you are, I guess I really sort of picture him now as, say, like Sam Elliott from Roadhouse, older, long hair, and a total badass.
That would have been really good. That would have been a great description. Actually, now as I consider it too, in the way Jack actually looks in the video game, Rob Zombie would have been a great description.
There you go. That makes perfect sense.
But you know how you're in the moment, you're GMing, you're trying to give imagery, and sometimes you find yourself, you're grasping for these images and you put them out there. And hey, if I accidentally created the impression that Jack is suave and really handsome in the minds of Chris or Nathan, then they had a really concrete image of Jack. The fact that Jack, I didn't mean him to be handsome, doesn't really come up in the game. So I think it's fine. A good concrete image was really what I was trying to achieve. If it's a little off base and they see Jack a little differently than I do, no harm. Did you catch that the whole point, I'll say of this episode, but of this portion of this session, Jack was really there to do all of the, oh no, what's that word? Exposition.
Yeah.
He was there to do all the exposition of, hey, you're part of this society and here are these other clans and here are the rules we abide by and all that kind of stuff. He was there to do a lot of that.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's how it came off. But at the same time, listening to it, I questioned, is what Jack is telling them, is that actually the truth? Will they learn something different? Is this misdirection? I mean, I would assume that it's not, considering it, you know, it's so early on in the game. But at the same time, I also doubted him a little bit.
Man, what a fun idea that would be. So no, it is true. Everything is, it's true. And I think people listening who are familiar with Vampire will know that. Nathan played the video game. Chris certainly didn't. He was meant to give them that explanation of the world. What a fun notion, Brian, for a campaign where that first NPC you run into that sort of lays out the way the world works, what if they're either lying or they have a really skewed perspective and the characters sort of learn that over the course of the campaign and all of a sudden they have this sort of, oh crap, realization moment where they're like, wait a minute, we're the bad guys. We've been killing good guys since the beginning. It's just that the first person we met happened to have these fringe beliefs.
Or if you're me, you might never figure it out.
Yeah. Interesting. What a great notion for a campaign, but that's not what I was doing here.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So anything else you wanted to cover about this one?
Not really. Just, again, when I planned out this first session, I wanted them to introduce their characters. That was episode one. I wanted them to learn about Vampire Society. That's episode two. And then we start getting into a little more of the meat of the campaign, and I start hinting at the broader themes of the campaign coming up in episode three. So keep listening.
People call them postmortems, evaluations, appraisals, reviews, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.